Scripture reading this evening comes from Genesis 3, 1 through 8. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden.
It's an old story. You know it well. We need to read and remind ourselves of what we know sometimes. And some of the things that strike me as we read that story, there are a lot of things that just don't jump out right away. But did you notice something there? Eve knew what God had said. Eve knew what God had told her. She knew what God's commands were. There was no doubt. There was no question. It wasn't, "Oh, I've got to go look it up," or, "You know, I'm not sure I understand." She knew exactly what he said. And she told the serpent what God said, kind of. The serpent then made one little word change. One little word change. Let's look at what happened. Go back with me in the previous chapter, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, because that's where God tells them. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Eve knew what God had told them. And look what she says now in our reading tonight, chapter 3, verse 2. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may not eat of the, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said,'" here we go, now she's going to quote God, "'God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Wait, is that what God said? That's not what God said, is it? Look what she did. "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." That's what God said. Eve added two little words, "nor touch." God said, "Don't eat it." She says, "Don't even touch it." Well, now that seems safe enough. That seems reasonable. That seems logical. The old story, the illustration the preachers used to use years ago was they said there was the story is this village on the top of a mountain, and there was a cliff at the edge of the mountain. So to be safe, they said to all of the kids, "Don't go near the cliff." Well, of course, naturally, some kid immediately, as soon as you tell them what not to do, they went and did it. Kids fell down, kids got hurt, kids got killed, people were killed all the time. So the village elders met together and they decided, "I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put a fence back about 100 feet from the edge of that cliff. 100 feet from the edge of that cliff, nobody will fall off. That's safe." Now the reality is you can't fall off the cliff unless you walk to the edge of the cliff and step over. But we'll stay back 100 feet. That'll be safe. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? That's what Eve said. God said, "Don't eat it." Don't even touch it. If you don't touch it, you won't eat it. That seems okay. But see, Eve made a change to God's word. Yes, it seemed safer. Yes, it seems innocent, but it was a change to God's word. And when we make changes to God's word, we're headed for trouble. And here Eve goes. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more cunning. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You notice even in his question, it changed things. God told them, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but one. The devil, the serpent, turns it. Has God really said you can't eat from every tree in the garden? And then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now, what was it God said? You will surely die. Serpent only added one word, three little letters, N-O-T. You shall not surely die. One little word can't make all that much difference, can it? I've told you before, there is a so-called church in this town that has a marquee out in front of their building on the side of the road that is quoting, purports to quote scripture. And what it says on the marquee is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall be filled." That's not what scripture says. Righteousness is what scripture says. But it changes the whole meaning of that scripture when we change one little word. Just one. "For God knows," the serpent says, "that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And the explanation is so reasonable. It's so attractive. You won't really die. You just change a little. And the change will be good. You'll be like God. We all want to be like God, don't we? We're told to live our lives like Jesus. We're told to let Jesus be seen in us. We're told to let our light so shine that the world will see God in what we do. We're supposed to be like God, right? And the devil's, it's perfectly logical. It's perfectly reasonable. You'll just be like God. Isn't that a wonderful thing, Eve? Don't we all want to be like God? He knew, the devil knew, the serpent knew what God said. But you see what he did? He turned the question from what God said. He turned the question from God to Eve. He got her thinking not about God and God's wants and desires and commands and instructions, but thinking about Eve. You'll be like God. You'll change. You'll be like God. He used human nature of thinking about what we want first. Isn't that the way we are? Don't we think about what we want first? Okay, I don't want to see a sign of hand, a show of hands, but I want you to think about this for a minute. Can you walk past a wet paint sign without touching it? Oh, it's hard, isn't it? You go into the Sherwin-Williams store, I think the one here in Searcy does the same thing the one in Kentucky did. They used to sell signs that said wet paint for painters to put up all the place, and they actually have a little space on the sign, a little square, that says, "Put a dab of paint here for people to test." Because we want to think about us. We want to think about how that affects me. What does it mean to me? It's a red flag that says, oh, what about not what God said, not what God means, but how about me? Look at verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise," well, that's one, two, three good things. It's good for food. It's good for food. One of the oddity foods that I like drives people crazy if you haven't been around it very much, but I like prickly pears. You know the cactus? That big, ugly cactus has a little red fruit on it. It has beautiful flower in the springtime, and then this red fruit comes on it, and it's pretty, and it's attractive, and you wouldn't touch it because it's got spines about that long on it, and they'll poke you in the hand and stay in your hand for a long time. You have to very carefully eat the pear or the prickly. Very carefully. But it's good. It's pretty, and it is nutritious. It's good for food. It's pleasant to the eye. It's beautiful. That's one of the prettiest flowers. Hey, I compare it to magnolia. It is that pretty a flower. It's pleasant to the eye. And this tree, the devil just told her it's desirable to make you wise. What one among us doesn't want to be wise? We talk about what a wonderful thing it was and what a great thing it was that Solomon, instead of asking for riches, instead of asking for strength, instead of asking for power, he asked for wisdom. Isn't that a great thing? And we look up to Solomon, the greatest king, arguably, maybe even surpassing David in the history of Israel. The wisest man in the world. Wisdom. This tree can make me wise. The fruit of this tree, oh, this is attractive. So she took the fruit and ate, gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. James chapter 4 addresses this situation. James chapter 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? He goes on to say, you ask for things, you want things, you don't have them. You ask for things, you don't get them. And why don't you, verse 3 of chapter 4 of the book of James, you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Focused on you, focused on me. After all, aren't I the center of my world? We think we are. Eve thought she was. You see, God's command didn't make logical sense to Eve. God said, don't touch that. No, he didn't. He said, don't eat it. Don't eat that. But it does. It's good for food, and it's pleasant to the eyes, and it's desirable to make me wise. That God, your command just doesn't make sense. It's illogical. It's just not right. Surely God didn't mean it that way. Surely he didn't. I must have misunderstood him. I must be misreading it. Oh, don't we do that when we open the Bible? Oh, don't we do that? Well, you just don't understand it. That was a big thing many years ago. I sat and had a study with a friend who was born and raised a Catholic, and all of his family were Catholics, and we sat and we opened the Bible and we read the Bible, and he looked at me and he said, I got to go talk to somebody about this. It really upset him what we were studying in the Bible, what I was having him read out of the Bible. And he came back and I said, well, what did you find out? He says, well, I went and talked to the priest about that. He said that that was too hard for regular people to understand. We needed to have study. And he said, he was a priest. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Okay. See, if I read it and I don't like it, I want to change it. We had a problem in Northern Kentucky a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I guess now, where we had some heresy try to rear its ugly head and come into the church. And we sat down and the elders sat down and we worked it out and we opened the book and we looked at what the Bible said and we resolved this is what we're going to do. And we had this session and we removed the problem. And I preached a series of lessons and sermons and classes about that issue. I don't make any bones about it. It was women's roles in the public worship of the church because the Bible's very clear. And we got all through And one of the members of the church, one of the older ladies, a member of the church, been there for many, many years, and she came up. She was a strong Christian. Had been all of her life. As we say, grew up in the church. She's also a strong feminist. A woman's liver. And all that that implies. And she came up to me after my sermon and she opened her Bible and she opened that verse that we had looked at and studied. And she said, you know what? I didn't know that was there. And I don't like it. She took a deep breath and she said, but that's what it says. And whether I like it or not, I'm going to live with it. Because that's what God says. You see, that's where Eve messed up. Eve didn't like what God told her. Eve didn't understand what God told her. And if we don't understand something, it's hard for us to say, I'm going to do it anyway, because that's what God said. We want to know why. We want to know, what's the motivation? What's the reason? Why would God tell me that? It doesn't make any sense. Jeremiah answered that. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We don't like that. We like to think we can do it. I can do it myself. I remember teaching, I taught all of our four kids to ride bicycles. Each one of them learned a different way because they're different people. And they learn different ways. Our oldest daughter went to ride a bicycle, and I tried to teach her like I did to two boys. All right, and you get on your bicycle, and I'll hold the seat here. Ah! Okay, well, we'll put training wheels on here. 5 years old, no training wheels, because her big brothers didn't have training wheels, and she wasn't going to have them. 5 years old, and Daddy wasn't going to stand behind her and hold that seat, because she was going to do it herself. So I went in the house and told Brenda to get the first aid kit. Sure enough, push the pedal once, fall over, skinned knee. Push the pedal once, fall over, skinned elbow. Skinned every edge of her body, all over her body. She did learn to ride a bicycle. But she's going to do it herself. Aren't we the same way? I want to do it myself. You want me to do it, you better explain to me why. Sometimes I think that's one of the major differences between men and women. Ladies, let me explain something to you. If you want your husband to slow down on the road, you don't have to tell him why. He doesn't want to know why. He just wants to know what you want. We've been in the car, I don't know how many times. We'll be in the car, Brenda will say, it's awfully slick out here. Yeah, it is. It's raining hard out here. Yeah, it is. You got the windshield wipers on high. Yeah, I do. Would you slow down? Well, why didn't you ask me that? I did 3 times. No, you didn't. You told me why. I don't need to know why. I just need to know what. That's the way we should be with God. Because when we start wanting to know why, we start trying to apply human logic. The devil knew what God said. Eve knew what God said. One of the biggest challenges that I have as a lawyer is having clients walk in and I try to explain to them what the law says. They don't want to know. Probably 80% of my clients over my career as a lawyer did not want to know what the law said. You know what they wanted to know? What they wanted to know was, how can I do what I want to do? Regardless of what the law says. Eve knew what God said. The serpent knew what God said. And look where not doing what they knew was right got us. We're the same way. Adam and Eve did eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's how sin entered into this world. We all agree with that. That's pretty basic, and we understand that. But let me suggest something to you that you may not have thought about. Sin is still here. We know that. In fact, in Romans 3:23, we're told all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin didn't go anywhere. It's still here. Now, here's the part I think you might not have thought about. If sin is still here, and it came into the world when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil is still here too, I submit. We know what's right, and we know what's wrong. Adam and Eve eating of that fruit brought that knowledge to us. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. I was worried this morning in Dennis's class that he was going to steal my thunder, but he didn't. He went a different direction. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you get what he says here? What Paul is saying is, you know about God. You know about his power. Mankind has known that from the beginning. You look around you and it's obvious. It's clear. I can't see the wind, but I can drive down the road and feel its power. I can see it moving trees, and I know the wind is blowing. It's just that obvious. I think I've told you before about my friend the chiropractor who went into chiropractic school as an agnostic. It wasn't that he didn't believe in God, he just didn't really know whether there was a God, and he really didn't care. And he said to me, I came out of chiropractic school with my models of the human skeleton and my models of the hands and the feet. And he said, I was sitting there in school one day, about the second year in, looking at that model of the hand, and I looked at my hand and started moving the fingers, and I realized, that's not an accident. The way those sinews and muscles and bones and flesh, and veins, and arteries, the way that hand moves, the way it's controlled, the way it functions, that didn't just happen. Somebody designed that. He said, that led me to a study of God, and that led me to believe in God and in Christ. Why? He didn't study the Bible to find that out. He didn't have somebody like me sit down and talk to him about Jesus to find out that God existed. The evidence was obvious and it was all around him. He just had to look. That's what Paul is saying in Romans. You got no excuse. You know. When you look outside and you see the trees moving like this and whipping back and forth, and you decide to go outside and walk around up on a high wire somewhere, you're just plain foolish. And that's what Paul says. You got no excuse. You know. And everybody knows. We know right from wrong. And we've known right from wrong since Adam and Eve ate of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know what good is and we know what evil is. And we have no excuse. Thankfully, the Bible tells us we have a way out of this. Still in Romans, move over to chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Our redemption, our buying back of our sin, is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. That's a fancy $3 lawyer word. It means paid for. It means, Leon, your life, you know what is good, you know what is evil. You have sinned and fallen short because you're going to, you're a human being, and it happens every day of your life, Leon. But Jesus paid the price. It's okay. He paid the price for me. He made it okay. He made me possible to have a relationship with God. The tree gave Adam and Eve and us knowledge of the difference between good and evil. We know we're supposed to obey God. We know we need to obey God. We know that we don't understand the whys of the commands that God gives us, because we're not God. We don't have the wisdom that God has. It's not within us, Jeremiah said, to direct our own steps. We have to look to God to know what to do. And there's only one way for us to do that, and that is to pick up His Word and read it and find out what it is God wants us to do. I suspect in many ways I'm a typical man. I typically get something that I'm supposed to be putting together, and like most men, I live under the idea and the philosophy that when all else fails, read the instructions. These are the instructions, and all else is destined to fail. It will fail. Doing it our way will always get us into trouble. We know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to obey God. And James takes it a step further than that in verse 4:17. He says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Oh, I don't live a life of sin, preacher. I try to be good. I behave myself. I'm a decent person. No, if you know to do good and you don't do it, James says, you're sinning. Paul says in Romans, we just read that, all have fallen short. All have sinned. We know what God tells us to do. It's in His Word, and He tells us how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. Are you doing it? Because you know that there's a right and there's a wrong. You've known it. Man has known it since the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. You know that God's commands are right here. Do you know what they are? If you don't, then you haven't been reading the instruction book. Let's open the book and look at it. If you know what to do and you haven't done it, if you know what you're supposed to be doing every day and you're not doing it, you're in trouble. Beloved sister in the Lord up in Northern Kentucky, before she passed many years ago, started a tradition up there. She said, we're going to have a reunion in the southeast corner of heaven. And everybody that knows me is invited to that reunion. And she walked all over the area. Every place she went, she invited people to the reunion. I got an invitation. And I have the ability to give you that invitation, the invitation of the Lord, to be there at that reunion in heaven. I want to see you there. I want to see all of you there. Do what you need to do. Be prepared to be in heaven with us. Chip, let's stand up and let's sing that song. This is the invitation of the Lord, and I urge you to respond to it in whatever way is appropriate tonight.